Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, July 10th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemire.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Movement for Democratic Change founding President Morgan Tsvangirai says Zimbabwe's economic problems can only be overcome if President Robert Mugabe's legitimacy is resolved.
There is no way you can resolve the economic problems that this country faces. So first and foremost, resolve the political crisis, and the economic benefits will fall thereafter.
President Robert Mugabe today visited the conjoined twins at Harare Hospital and congratulated the team of 50 doctors and nurses that surgically separated them in a delicate 8-hour operation.
I think it's very significant and it's very important, because how often do you do something that the head of state will notice? And so I think for the whole team,
And the MDC renewal team de facto leader Tendai Biti says President Robert Mugabe and his ruling ZANU-PF party have no capacity to rescue the economy from sliding further into recession.
They've grossly failed. They've disastrously failed. They promised to create 2,256,000 jobs, which means that in 1 year they ought to have created at least 450,000 jobs.
A Movement for Democratic Change founding President Morgan Tsvangirai says Zimbabwe's economic problems can only be overcome if President Robert Mugabe's legitimacy is resolved. Critics also believe that Zimbabwe should address various political issues and fight corruption in order to turn around the ailing economy. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Officiating at the launch of a campaign for jobs organized by the youth wing of his party, Tsvangirai said the country's current economic crisis is largely driven by the disputed victory of President Mugabe and his ZANU-PF party in the 2013 general election.
This is not an economic problem. Zimbabwe is not facing an economic problem. Zimbabwe is facing a political crisis. The political paralysis is resolved. There is no way you can resolve the economic problems that this country faces. So first and foremost, resolve the political crisis, and the economic benefits will fall thereafter.
Mr. Mugabe won last year's national elections by a wide margin in polls that the former premier claims were rigged. ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo told the Daily News newspaper yesterday that his party is willing to engage opposition parties with a view to find solutions to the problems affecting the country, but insisted that Mr. Tsvangirai must first accept that Mr. Mugabe is the legitimate leader of the country. Mr. Tsvangirai said lack of jobs in the country is now posing a security risk to Zimbabwe. The MDCT leader claims that more than 300 companies have shut down since the last elections owing to the economic meltdown.
This country faces a very potential time bomb. Understand that unless there is a new direction and a new policy thrust, this country is doomed, and this country cannot create even one job.
President Mugabe promised ahead of the national polls last year that his government would create more than 2.2 million jobs if ZANU-PF was re-elected. Acting chairperson of the MDCT Youth Assembly, Costa Machingauta, told the jobs launch meeting that most youths in Zimbabwe are now resorting to using drugs due to lack of jobs. Machingauta criticized the ZANU-PF government for failing to fulfill its promises.
Clearly, most of the youth are in vulnerable employment, an indication of poverty among young generation in Zimbabwe.
Gumbo, however, told Studio 7 over the phone that his party is working flat out to fulfill all its election campaign promises. Political analyst and chairperson of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition, Dewa Mavinga, told Studio 7 by phone from Johannesburg, South Africa, that the ZANU-PF government needs to tackle a lot of issues such as fighting corruption in order to improve the country's economy.
The challenge has to do with the de facto aspects of effectively and properly running an economy.
Mavinga also urged MDCTUs to engage the majority of people with a view of conscientizing them on the need to create jobs in a nation where observers say the unemployment rate is believed to be hovering around 80%. The MDCT Youth Wing also took the opportunity to launch its website that it says will be used to collect data of all unemployed youths in the country, as well as relaying information to its membership. The government says the country's unemployment rate is pegged at 10.7% and the economy is likely to grow this year by at least 6%, but international finance institutions say the economy is likely to grow by less than 2% in 2014. It says it needs more than $27 billion to implement its economic blueprint, the Zimbabwe Agenda for Sustainable Socio-Economic Transformation, or ZIM Asset. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
President Robert Mugabe today visited the conjoined twins at Harare Hospital and congratulated the team of 50 doctors and nurses that surgically separated them in a delicate 8-hour operation on Tuesday last week. The visit was first exclusively reported on Studio 7 live talk program last night by Health Minister Dev Tiparenyatwa, who was a guest on the show. Mr. Mugabe praised the team of doctors, saying, quote, "Bad things have been said about the country, all in the name of tarnishing the image of Zimbabwe, and the surgery carried out here with limited resources just goes to show that God the Almighty intervened," of course. Mr. Mugabe, whose cash-strapped government has not prioritized health delivery, assured the doctors that he will equip hospitals with state-of-the-art equipment. The president also invited the surgical team to State House. The Chitio twins, Kupakwashe and Tapiwanashe, were born on April 22 to Agnes and Moses Chitio. Head of the surgical team, Dr. Bothwell Mbuwayesango, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu he was thrilled to meet Mr. Mugabe.
I think it's very significant and it's very important, because how often do you do something that the head of state will notice? And we'll commend you for. It's never often. And so I think for the whole team, it was very good.
The president also invited your team to State House. How are you feeling about this?
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Maybe that's my only chance in life to be anywhere near State House.
Dr. Mbuwayesango is now popular. We can even have him as a candidate in 2018, isn't it?
Well, I think if it was treating children, yes, that's my strength, not politics and administration.
Lastly, Dr. Mbuwayesango, obviously there's an emotional connection between you and the twins. What do you want to see the nation doing for them, as well as other Zimbabweans, be they in Zimbabwe or in the diaspora, to help them?
Not only to help them. I will start by being very specific. And this is a plea from the father. The father is a chef, is a cook, but because of the economic situation in the country, he's rich, he retrenched. So now he's a vegetable and fruit vendor, which means he's a skilled man who has no job. And speaking to him, he says, "Lord, you could give me gifts, you could give me pampers, milk, but that's not what I want."
That was Dr. Bothwell Mbuwayesango speaking to Studio 7 from Harare Central Hospital.
The MDC renewal team de facto leader Tendai Biti says President Robert Mugabe and his ruling ZANU-PF party have no capacity to rescue the economy from sliding further into recession. Biti says the only solution to Zimbabwe's economic problems is adopting Greece's template of hiring technocrats to address the economic crisis. After 6 straight years of recession that have reduced the economy by about a quarter of its size and driven unemployment to a record of nearly 28%, Greece's economy is expected to begin a long road to recovery this year. Biti tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that Zimbabwe needs more than politicians to fix the economic crisis.
Well, I mean, I think for starters, let people admit that they've fundamentally failed. They've grossly failed. They've disastrously failed. Over the weekend, I was just giving some of the statistics. They ran this election campaign on the theme of develop and employ. They promised to create 2,256,000 jobs, which means that in 1 year, they ought to have created at least 450,000 jobs. Because it's a five-year program. They've in fact destroyed almost 600,000 jobs in the same period. They promised to build 250,000 low-income housing units. They promised to construct 310 clinics and 300 schools. They've done absolutely nothing. So I think the first thing on the way forward is for these guys to accept that they failed and to apologize to the people of Zimbabwe. We have suggested that there must be a temporal council, a national transitional technical council, to take over at least the management of the economy, which will consist of experts, with experts at the World Bank, Zimbabwean experts, that is to say, at the African Development Bank, and virtually in every bank in South Africa, you'll find major Zimbabwean experts. Let them run for the economy. Let's take politicians away from it.
But how feasible is it and how different is it from the government of national unity? Because the MDC was given those economic portfolios and ZANU-PF pretty much kept the security arms of government.
The government of national unity, although it may have brought relief to the people of Zimbabwe, the effect of the matter is that it was a motley, elitistic a collection of politicians, many of them very incompetent. They were sleeping in that particular cabinet. This time around, avoid politicians, have technocrats running this. So that's the difference. It's not a motley of failed politicians. It's a motley of technocrats. We saw this model being followed after the global economic crisis in Spain, which hired people like Mario Monti from the European Union to run the government. We saw the Greeks follow this model. Zimbabwe definitely requires this because politicians have failed this economy.
But ZANU-PF has said, crisis, what crisis? There is no crisis.
That statement is at the epicenter of the current status quo that Zimbabweans find themselves in.
Let's look at the MDC renewal team. What are you offering that is different from all the other opposition parties?
Well, the only one that is very clear that we need a new paradigm in Zimbabwe. We need a new narrative in Zimbabwe. We need a new discourse in Zimbabwe. Only a mad person does the same thing over and over again and expects a different result. We have had 34 years of misrule by a tired, exhausted liberation movement. We have had 15 years of a cul-de-sac by a tired and exhausted post-liberation movement.
That was MDC renewal team de facto leader Tendai Biti speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu on the line from Harare.
Tomorrow, we'll be talking with Mavambo Kusile, Dwan Party leader Simba Makoni. He says Zimbabwe's problems lie squarely on President Robert Mugabe, who is a populist not willing to take tough decisions on issues that seriously affect Zimbabwe.
The problem emanates from our politics. Our government, particularly the head of state and government, commander-in-chief and all those titles he has, is a short-term person who wants to please people there and then. He has no staying power for difficult policies. So he then requires those who work under him to behave like he wants immediate gratification.
Don't miss this interview tomorrow here on Studio 7.
ZANU-PF says it will not be forced into talks with the opposition, which is calling for an inclusive all-party authority to stem the tide of the economic slide. The ruling party denied media reports that said it was ready to talk with the MDCT to find solutions to the country's economic woes. A local daily had said ZANU-PF would talk to the MDCT on condition that the party leader, Morgan Tsvangirai, stopped his election rigging claims. However, spokesman Rugare Gumbo told Studio 7 that the opposition party was free to suggest solutions to the country's problems through parliament.
There is no basis for any talk between the MDC and ZANU-PF. The people of Zimbabwe spoke loudly on July 31st, 2013, and they want ZANU to be the government that should take us to prosperity and so on. So I don't think there is any basis for talking with NDC. In any case, they are divided. They don't see eye to eye. And who should we talk to? And why should we talk to them anyway? Because they don't have any programs to bring about the turnaround of the economy.
We also have heard from some economists who say that ZANU-PF has failed to achieve its goals of employment and other things like that. Would you say that is true?
Well, it's not true, because we've just been in power for less than a year, and all of a sudden we are judged and condemned. But what did the governor of the Reserve Bank, Dr. Bangulia, say about the economy? He said he saw improvement in our economy. The financial sector is fairly sound. But look at what is happening. The Siamese twins, the first of its kind to be separated in Zimbabwe, in spite of the difficult financial problems that we have.
That was ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo on the line with Studio 7 from Harare.
Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni has urged municipal workers against striking as workers threaten industrial action over non-payment. Manyenyeni, who met with workers today, says tomorrow the city will hold an all-stakeholders meeting, including workers, council representatives, and residents over the issue. Meanwhile, as Chitungwiza workers have continued their crippling strike after failing to reach an agreement with the local authority this week over salary arrears backdating to 2013, sources say Public Service Minister Nicholas Goche has sent workers a show-cause order directing them to explain why they have taken to striking. Chitungwiza workers say employers have refused to entertain them, insisting that they must go back to work because their industrial action is illegal. Disgruntled workers say council directors have been able to pay themselves high salaries while failing to pay them. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks to Manyenyeni, who explains that an industrial strike should not be an option for Harare workers.
I'm of the view that we must have a four-way discussion with our residents and ratepayers as one, our workers as two, our management as three, and the elected officials as four, so that all four sides put together their side of the story, so that there's an open city, everybody sees what is there. We should take away any suspicion, any mystery around anything that is done at council. Our ability to meet our service delivery obligations, our ability to meet our salary obligations.
There are some disgruntled workers that are saying the council has been able to pay for other amenities while not paying workers. What's your response to that?
There will always be a priority list. And It is our view that the priorities should pass the test. What I call the rank test, that if you go to a combi rank, whatever you do must be able to sound correct. The ordinary man must be able to say, you applied our money in this way instead of this way. It's justifiable.
Of course, we're looking at the strike that's happening in Chitungwiza and the looming strike in Harare. What's your message to a worker?
Is the Chitungwiza case anything to talk about? I think we have things to copy and paste. We have nothing to emulate from industrial action. It does not take us any far forward.
That was Mayor Bernard Manyenyane speaking in Studio 7 from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Anti-personnel landmines planted by the Rhodesian Army in the 1970s Liberation War continue to kill and maim people and animals more than 34 years after Zimbabwe attained independence. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports from Harare.
Kenna Mkululu Ncube, director of the Zimbabwe Mines Action Center, or ZIMAC, a civilian authority leading demining activities in the country, told the Senate Peace and Security Committee more than 1,600 people have been killed and at least 2,000 injured since 1980. About a million people, mostly poor peasants, are traumatized after their loved ones were either killed or injured by landmines scattered across the country's borders with Zambia, Mozambique and South Africa. He said this has affected farmers who are losing livestock and cannot grow crops as their land is littered with landmines.
Cotton farming in this area is prohibited by these mines. I have seen people who have recycled in mine areas.
Ncube said the landmines were also affecting tourism in the Gonarejo National Park, which is full of dangerous mines.
The Great Limpopo Transfrontier Park, joining three national parks, the Kruger Park from South Africa, the Gonarejo in Zimbabwe, and the Limpopo National Parks from Mozambique. Both South Africa and Mozambique, they enjoy freedom of movement.
Only one of the six mine fields, Victoria Falls, has been demined while work is in progress in the other five in Mashonaland Central, Mashonaland East, Manicaland, and Mashingo provinces. He said, though demining started in 1984 with assistance from the United States, Germany and other Western countries, it slowed down or almost stopped in 2000 when the countries imposed sanctions on Zimbabwe. He however said some international organizations such as Halo Trust and the International Red Cross Society have partnered this organization in demining activities. Ncube said government alone has no resources to completely demine all affected areas. He noted that Zimbabwe is drawing up a national strategy and time frame to eradicate all the landmines in the country in line with the Anti-Personnel Mine Ban Convention. Most of the mines were planted by the Rhodesian Army to prevent liberation forces from infiltrating into Zimbabwe during the Liberation War. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
As reported earlier, an industrial action looms as Harare municipal workers threaten to strike over non-payment of salaries. The workers are set to join Chitungwiza employees who are continuing with a crippling strike over non-payment of salaries backdating to 2013. For perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke to political analyst and ZANU-PF member Gadzira Chirumanzu and MDCT local government shadow minister Cecil Shidzai. Shidzai says the industrial action is clear reflection of the failed policies by the local government ministry.
The problem has been worsened by the populist approach, the populist directives that Minister Chombo gave, that councils cancel all debts that were owed by the people throughout these local authorities. This was meant to set up the councils so that they would fail. But unfortunately, the minister didn't realize that this was his area of competence. This is an area where he must shepherd these local authorities so that they can deliver. Now the chickens are coming home to roost.
Mr. Chirimanzu, your take on this issue of industrial action taken by Chitungwiza workers?
I think what is being planned by, you know, different labor platforms, you know, it's a reflection of the economic meltdown. down in the country. And I think I need to point out forthwith that this meltdown was brought about by MDC and their Tsvangirai. And now people are now feeling the pinch because, you know, there is no way where a country can use foreign currency as its own. That is challenge number one. And secondly, you know, the dynamics of the economy vis-a-vis the neighboring countries and so forth is totally different.
Mr. Rizai, we can go back and forth looking at which party might have done what or which party did not do what, but at least the average worker is feeling the pinch. What's your response to that?
Well, I mean, Magumbo, there is no way we can run away from the superintendency of the country. The superintendency of the country is clueless. They are in a big, deep hole, and they keep digging and sinking the country deeper and deeper towards the proportions of magma. And we are getting back to 2007 because of poor governance, because of clueless leadership, because of a government that simply doesn't care about its people, a government that promotes corruption, that allows dissipation of meager resources through corruption, a government that allows people who are corrupt to go court-free.
Mr. Chirimanzu, can we blame ZANU-PF? And with the issue that Mr. Rizai just pointed out, there were some circumstances where it was seen that in some city councils, people were getting paid thousands of dollars monthly and nothing has happened.
No, like I said, and I think like also you said that, you know, if we want to solve the problems, if we continue having the issue that, no, look, this was done by MDC, this is being done by ZANU-PF. Only way out of this problem is to have this tripartite negotiation forum where the government, the labor, and the corporate world have to sit down and come up with a solution, right? The way I would, you know, deal with this issue is to deal with, one, salaries first. How much are Zimbabweans supposed to be getting, especially taking into consideration this US dollar?
Mr. Rizai, your response to that?
Look. There is a clear message that I want to send to the ZANU-PF government, that they must learn to be responsible, that they must learn to accept that they are in charge and they are failing, that they are an irresponsible government that doesn't even respect its own constitution of this country. I can only imagine that if $200 million had been transferred from the center to the local authorities, we wouldn't be facing these challenges that we are facing.
Mr. Chirimanzu, what's your response to that?
You know, I think one can, you know, simply summarize what he's saying as a hogwash. Honestly, the ZANU-PF government wants everything to be controlled by Zimbabweans, that is, by black people. And MDC is inviting white to be in charge of this land. And one says, you know, everything is there in Zimbabwe, but it's only that it is poorly managed. How can it be poorly managed?
That was political analyst and ZANU-PF member Gadzira Chirumanzu and MDCT local government shadow minister Cecil Rizai speaking with Studio 7 Statenda Gumbo.
And in sports news, many soccer fans are looking forward to the final of the FIFA World Cup Sunday when Germany will play Argentina, who progressed after beating Netherlands 4-2 on penalties yesterday. Some soccer fans, however, are not impressed with the way Netherlands and Argentina played yesterday, saying the match did not live up to its billing as both teams played very cautiously, leading to no goals being scored at full time and extra time. More from our sports reporter, Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
I think the winner is likely to be decided by defensive error or individual brilliance, with a marginal scoreline of probably 1-0 or 2-1. In my own view, I think midfielders will play a really important role in deciding who will take match weight in terms of position and the end result of the game. We've got Mascherano and Di Maria against Khedira and Cruz from Germany. So these people will really be very key, both defensively and in attack. Obviously, the player to watch is Messi.
That was Chiedza Gadzirai of the Footballers Association.